Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Fellowship and love.
It's that time again. Time for the Catholic Answers Quiz Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host, at least for this hour. And in studio with me is our super top secret guest, which I forgot to keep super top secret. I just blurted it out last hour. Trent Horn! How are you, Trent?
I'm good. It's above top secret.
Oh, it's higher than top secret?
Yeah.
It's a...
Tippity top secret.
Double super secret.
But there was
what's
a movie.
What's the one from?
There's a movie.
Animal House, or double secret probation. That's what it is. Those guys get put on secret probation.
But I also think there is a movie called Above Top Secret.
Oh, Above Top Secret. Oh.
Pretty sure.
That sounds like maybe a really cheap Netflix movie.
Possibly.
I hate to say it. But all right, Trent. Trent is the author of many, many things, including Why We're Catholic and his brand new book, Counterfeit Christs. And he is an apologist here at Catholic Answers. He is a personality. I don't know. Is that right to say? Are you a personality?
I have a personality.
I don't know about that. I mean, you are a personality. What's the evidence?
Why do you think I lack personality, Cy?
No, you're a very personable person. We have two very fine contestants to contest over wonderful
duel?
Prizes today. To duel. Yes, that would be a duel.
A duel of wits.
Right. We have first Jason Yuji. Jason, do we have you there with us?
Yes, sir.
And where are you from and what's interesting about you, Jason?
I live in Groom, Texas, which is just outside of Amarillo in the Panhandle. And I'm an aircraft mechanic. I have three children, 14-year-old twins and a 12-year-old. And my lovely wife Vanessa.
That's like 20 interesting things about you. I don't even know. No, that's a lot of good stuff. But you're an airplane mechanic.
Yes, an aircraft mechanic. Oh, yes, sir.
On jets or propeller planes or helicopters.
I've worked on jets and now I build helicopters.
All right, I just want a one word answer from you. Yes or no? Should I get on?
Yes.
The 737 when they put it back in service. Yes or no? Should
yes.
I?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Jason says yes. Contestant number two. I think Jason is contestant number one because he responded first to assistant producer Marie when she was put the call out for contestants. And so contestant two is Sam Asato. And where are you, Sam? And what's interesting about you?
I'm from San Clemente. I've happily married two boys, one in university, right by you guys, San Diego State. Great Newman Center there, by the way.
Oh, great.
And another junior in high school.
Well, congratulations on that. San Clemente, I don't know if I'm going to throw a little trivia out. Maybe Trent doesn't know this. The former Western White House of Richard Nixon. Am I correct about that, Sam?
Yes.
Is it still there?
It is. but it's not not known as, I think, I forget what they do there now. I think weddings and whatnot.
Oh,
is that where David Frost interviewed Nixon? Part of the Frost-Nixon interviews?
I don't know. You're just showing off now.
Well, it's a game show. I was getting ready with all my trivia for...
Oh, okay.
I guess we're only doing Catholic trivia. I should probably bracket the other stuff.
All right, Jason.
Is that Jack Frost's brother?
Jack Frost, yes. They were brothers. All right.
That's right.
We got to move into the rules of the game show. Jason is contestant number one. Sam is contestant number two. Jason and Sam, we'll alert you to which prizes you're playing for as you go. But it is a game show in three rounds. The first two rounds involve three multiple choice questions for each contestant. And the third round is what we call final judgment, and it is seven true or false questions for the contestant who survives round one and two. The six questions that you will get in rounds one and two will be totaled up. Your correct answers will be totaled up, and whoever has the highest number of correct answers will go on to the final judgment. If there is a tie after the first two rounds, Jason, because he is contestant number one, will pick box A or box B, and we will open it up to see whose designation is in there to go on to finish. So far, is all that clear to you, fellas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He said, sir. Can you maybe work on that? Treating me like with some respect, Trent?
Sure thing, dude.
What? okay. So that you also have some lifelines, and you can use them. You get two lifelines, am I right? Two, and you can use them either in round one or round two. But once they're gone, they're gone. You don't get a reboot when we head into round two. Your two lifelines are as follows. You can ask, because they're multiple choice questions, you can ask Trent to eliminate one wrong answer, which will leave you with a 50-50 choice, or you can ask Trent to give you the correct answer. Okay?
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. But there is a catch. When he gives you the correct answer, he has to do it in Pig Latin. KOA?
I would like to hear that.
Okay, I really wait till if you don't use it, I'll force you to use it on the last question, because we got to hear Trent do some Igpe Atenle.
I can butcher many different languages, and Pig Latin is among them. So,
all right, get ready, Nick. If you give a wrong answer, you will hear this sound, and if you give a correct answer, you will hear this sound. Okay, here we go. Contestant number one, Jason, your first question. The following is not a pope's name. Okay, so which of the following is not a pope's name? A, Sylvester. B, Innocent. C, Andrew. Is it A, Sylvester, B, Innocent, or C, Andrew?
You guys started with a hard one. I would like to eliminate one of the wrong answers.
I will take away Innocent. There have been several Pope Innocents.
That was not the one you wanted. You wanted him to take the other one away?
All right. Yeah, I was hoping he'd take a different one away.
So it's between Sylvester and Andrew. Was there a Pope Sylvester or was there a Pope Andrew?
Okay, shot in the dark, A, Sylvester.
Boom! Yes, there was Pope Sylvester. You never believe this, but you know who his main cardinal was?
Who?
Tweety. Nope. Moving on to question number one for contestant number two. Contestant number two is Sam. Sam, your first question. The following is a pope's name. So which of the following names is the name of at least one pope? A, David. B, Matthew. C, Sixtus.
Sixtus.
That's correct. There have actually been five Sixtuses.
Oh, wouldn't it be good to be Sixtus the Sixth?
Sixtus the Sixth. Hopefully we can pray to have that. In fact, actually, I just uploaded part of my history series at the Council of Trent podcast, a historical series on the different popes, and we just did one on the first Pope Sixtus, whose pontificate was from 115 to 125 AD.
What does Sixtus mean?
It means sixth. It really does mean that.
Why was he called Sixtus?
Well, there's different theories. One theory is that there was a pope who served in the pontificate at this time, though his name was lost in historical records, so he was designated with the label the Sixth from Peter.
Oh.
Or it could be a coincidence. Sixtus is not that uncommon of a name in ancient Greek society. So wow. He was the sixth. He could have been the sixth child in his family, for example.
I gotcha. All right. So we're tied, right? 1-1? Mm-hmm. All right. Contestant number one, that would be Jason. Your second question. Jason, the sacraments of initiation are A, baptism, Eucharist, holy orders. B, baptism, Eucharist, confirmation. C, baptism, confession, Eucharist. The sacraments of initiation are A, baptism, Eucharist, holy orders, baptism, Eucharist, confirmation, baptism, confession, Eucharist.
B, baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation.
I just noticed here on side that that actually is correct.
Oh, I that's funny. Trent is looking at the sheet that I gave him, and I marked the wrong answer.
You did that on, you know, that's also my fault, too. I went through the questions before. I found one other one. I'm not going to say which one, yeah. But I'm surprised that this one just appeared to me right as I was reading it.
I'm not correct. A detail-oriented person. All right, I'm not a detail-oriented person.
You know, it's okay, Si, if this is not a sin that merits the sacrament of confession, which belongs to the sacraments of healing.
Oh, very good, yes.
And there in confession, you will meet a priest who receives the sacrament of holy orders, which belongs to the sacraments of service. So we have the sacraments of service, matrimony and holy orders, the sacraments of healing, anointing of the sick and confession, and the other three belong to initiation.
Initiation. All right.
You got it right. Pay no heed to the sound.
Sorry, Nick. We're going now to Sam. Question number two, round one. Sam, which of these is not a beatitude of Jesus? What? This is going to be hard. Which of these is not a beatitude of Jesus? A, blessed are you who receive mercy. B, blessed are you who are poor. C, blessed are the peacemakers. Do you want me to go over them again, or you got them?
No, I have to say that mine are a lot easier than Jason's.
Are they really? Oh, I didn't do that on purpose.
B, poor.
Actually, yours are harder than you thought.
No, poor in spirit, not poor. They're not talking about money. They're talking about poor in spirit.
This is a tough one because the first one says, blessed are you who receive mercy. And it's actually blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the poor is a controversial one because it does not appear in Matthew's gospel. It appears in Luke's list of the Beatitudes.
Right. It's in Luke 6:20. So we have to remember that the Beatitudes come both from Matthew's Sermon on the Mount and in Luke's Sermon on the Plain, where in Luke 6:20, Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor. So the first answer, blessed are you who receive mercy, it's actually, as Si said, blessed are you who are merciful.
And, okay, I think we got to take a quick break. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Quiz Show, Trent Horn, and our contestants, Jason and Sam, right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Well, Welcome back to Catholic Answers Quiz Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. In studio, Trent Horn, author of many books, including Counterfeit Christ's, his latest book. He is our lifeline today. Our contestants are Jason and Sam. And I'm just going to tell you right out, I completely messed up the scoring in the beginning. All that anyone needs to know right now is we're tied. Okay? We don't need to dwell on it that I made a total mess of it. Does this seem fair? Do you want to dwell on it?
You're the only one who's dwelling on it, Cy.
Stop dwelling on it. Let's move on.
Okay.
I made a mistake.
We're good.
Okay. Several mistakes.
You're fine.
Almost everything
we're
I
good.
Did was a mistake.
You
I know it was terrible.
You're doing a great job.
Okay.
Cy, you're an amazing host.
All right. But we have Jason and Sam. Please just relax and take it easy for a minute because we have one of our favorite people in studio with us.
Oh, my.
Oh, no, it's Emily. Sorry. Emily is the executive assistant to the president of Catholic Answers, and she runs just about everything around here. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Cy. It's good to see you.
Good to see you as well on this Friday afternoon. I'm doing the best I can, okay? Do not report back to Chris what a terrible job I've done.
Cy, you always do a wonderful job.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Emily. I know why you're here.
I am. I'm here to talk about the conference.
Yes, I knew
and
it.
And why everybody listening should come to our conference in San Diego, because that's where you can meet Cy. What more do you want in life?
Oh, Emily, come on. That is a terrible pitch. That is a terrible pitch. You need to come up with some better reason to come. The conference
You can
is...
also meet Trent, okay?
Yeah.
All right, there
that
we go.
That is true.
There
I will be there.
Yes, you better be there. We have got you scheduled. September 26th through 29th at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla in what I am told is beautiful and sunny San Diego. Who's going to be there, Emily?
Oh, my goodness. A great lineup of people. Ours, Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Carlo Broussard. And then we're bringing in some fantastic speakers. Monsignor Eugene Morris.
Yes.
Father David McComey.
Uh-huh.
Rod Bennett.
Uh-huh.
And Bishop Frank Cajano
yes.
from Bridgeport. Great.
Yeah. I had a reaction to all of those.
That's fantastic. Well, guess what?
What?
Father Paul Cech will also be there.
Yes. This is going to be a great conference. On
yeah.
How.
So come.
Early bird pricing is happening now through July 2nd. You just go to Catholic Answers Conference. .com to sign up, and we still have that special room rate of $154 per night at the Hyatt Regency. We'd love it if you came. CatholicAnswersConference.com.
I'm excited because we're doing the conference on the early church fathers, and I'm going to be doing a talk on how Protestant apologists actually misquote the church fathers to support their views. So a lot of times we're used to in our engagements with our Protestant brothers and sisters showing them the early church. Many of them are now trying to appeal to the church fathers to support their own Protestant views. So I'll be going over that in my talk.
You got to be fair if you're going to do that.
Oh,
you're going to refer
assuredly
to the,
so.
Not, I mean, if you're going to quote the church fathers, you got to quote them by what they said.
Right, like, and people mm-hmm. accuse us of not doing that. And so I'm going to be addressing those charges and claims in my talk at the conference.
I think there's hardly anything that will convince a person that the Catholic Church is the early church more than the fathers, like Clement and Polycarp mm-hmm. and whoever the people are that wrote like the Shepherd of Hermas. And it's clearly a Catholic church.
Ignatius of Antioch, who says we should be kata holos, Catholic.
Yeah.
And that's why several Protestant scholars have taken aim at Catholic interpretation and understanding of the fathers.
That's not going to work.
Well, you'll have to come to the talk to hear
we've
why.
We've got Trent Horn on the case. That's not going to work.
It'll be fun.
What's the name of the conference again? I can't remember.
The early church was the Catholic Church.
And how do I go? Where do I go if I want to go to that?
Oh, great question.
Catholic?
Go to CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Emily, executive assistant to the president, thank you very much for coming by.
Thank you, Cy.
And thank you for everything you do to keep this place running.
Oh, my goodness.
It would not run if it were up to Chris. Let's admit it to ourselves.
Well, you know what? He's great.
He is great. I'm
okay. And I have a great job.
All right, moving All right. on. See ya. Thanks,
Bye.
Emily. Okay, our contestants are Jason and Sam. We are not quite through the first round, and we're tied up right now. Contestant number one, Jason, your third question of round one is as follows. Which of the following is forever? Which of the following, Jason, is forever? A, marriage. B, holy orders. C, the universe. Which of the following is forever? A, marriage. B, holy orders. C, the universe.
B, holy orders.
That is correct.
Are you married?
I am.
I know. And what is you're going to tell your wife that your marriage is not forever?
We've had discussions about that.
Oh, really? So what does that mean?
What means is there's something better along the way for us. Marriage, all the sacraments are signs. They point towards our ultimate heavenly reality. And Jesus said in Matthew 12:25 that in heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. And in Matthew 24:35, he says that heaven and earth shall pass away. So marriage isn't forever. This world isn't forever. But heaven's forever. And the indelible marks we receive on our soul from grace, those are forever. So baptism and holy orders, their effects are going to be eternal.
Nice job, Jason, on that one. Question number three of round two for you, Sam. Your last question of round one. Which of the following, according to St. Peter, covers a multitude of sins? Which of the following, according to St. Peter, covers a multitude of sins? A, confession. B, Christ's cross. C, love. Which of the following, according to St. Peter, covers a multitude of sins? A, confession. B, Christ's cross. Or C, love.
I'm going to ask for a lifeline.
All right.
Let's have Trent get rid of one answer.
All right.
Bad answer.
The answer, one of the answers that is incorrect is confession.
Okay, so Christ's cross is the answer.
What? That's a tough one. Go ahead.
1 Peter 4:8, Peter says, above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. And of course, the supernatural love and charity that we are able to exhibit ultimately comes from the grace Christ merited for us on the cross. But that's, of course, not explicitly described in this verse. What Peter's talking about is how when we exhibit the supernatural love for one another, it covers a multitude of sins. That's 1 Peter 4:8.
And that concludes round one. Our contestants, Jason and Sam, are freakishly close as we move into round two. Freakishly close. It's like Ayrton Senna and that other guy that he used to race against. I don't remember the other guy's name. Who said it was like a Formula One, Ayrton Senna, and then the other guy? Do you know the other guy? They were always really, no?
Sports trivia is my one major weakness.
Sorry. All right, moving into round two.
Muhammad Ali.
He was.
Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, the great one. Okay, round two. Contestant number one, Jason, your first question of round two, Jason, is which of the following is not one of the counterfeit Christs listed in Trent's book? See how I got your book in there, Trent?
You did.
Yeah, counterfeit Christ. I'm going to hold it up for the viewing audience. Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters, the brand new book from Trent Horn. Somewhere in there, he lists a whole bunch of different counterfeit Christs. Which of these is not one of them? A, the New Age guru. B, the pirate angel. C, the rotting corpse. That is, which of these is not one of the counterfeit Christs in Trent's book? A, the New Age guru. B, the pirate angel. C, the rotting corpse.
Okay, so I have to admit I have not read that book yet.
Okay.
So I would ask for him to give me the answer in Pig Latin.
Good. That's great. Excellent.
Trent will
now speak Pig Latin and give the correct answer to this question. Is it New Age guru? Is it pirate angel? Is it rotting corpse?
I'm just going to butcher because I don't know Pig Latin. Irate angelae pecae.
What? Oh my gosh. Every third grade girl in the world is laughing at you right now. Okay. And I am too.
No, that's nothing unusual.
That's about the level of my humor.
Both from 25 years ago and today.
So could you tell what that was that Trent was trying to say?
Yes, the answer is B, Irate Pay Angel B, Angel A.
Okay, first of all, why do you say that New Age Guru and Rotting Corpse are two of the counterfeit Christs that you'll run across?
New Age Guru is the view that Jesus is God in the sense that we're all God, and Jesus didn't come to save us. He came to teach us God consciousness and enlightenment. This kind of stuff you find in the works of people like Deepak Chopra. Rotting corpse is the view of atheists who vigorously say that Jesus died and he stayed dead and he never rose from the dead. So those are myths that I refute in counterfeit Christ. Pirate Angel.
Do you know it? Do you know it?
Yes. Pirate Angel is the reference that in Avengers Infinity War is what Drax the Destroyer refers to an unconscious Thor.
He's like a pirate angel.
After Thor's ship with the Asgardians is destroyed by Thanos, he's floating in space and picked up by the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I wondered if you would get the reference.
Oh, I did. I did,
he's
sir.
He's like a pirate angel.
Like some pirate. And to immediately that Chris Pratt's character in Avengers Infinity War, Star-Lord, has a bit of inferiority complex next to Thor.
Jason and Sam, did either of you see that movie, Avengers, the Endgame?
No, I did, but I did not pick up the reference.
All right. Sorry. That's what Pirate Angel is. I'm very impressed that I thought I was going pretty obscure there, but you can't outdo Trent. Okay. So I am then on question number one of round two for Sam. Who wrote that? No one can be at the same time a good Catholic and a true socialist. Who wrote this? No one can at the same time be a good Catholic and a true socialist. Was that A, Vladimir Lenin, B, Pope Pius XI, or C, Fidel Castro? You want me to repeat it, or are you okay?
No. Can you repeat that, please?
Yes. Who wrote this? No one can be at the same time a good Catholic and a true socialist. Was that A, Vladimir Lenin, B, Pope Pius XI, or C, Fidel Castro?
I'll go with Fidel Castro.
In Quadragesimo Anno in 1931, Pope Pius XI said that no one can be at the same time a good Catholic and a true socialist.
So that's coming straight from the Pope, that you can't be a socialist and be a good Catholic.
Now, he acknowledges other kinds of socialism, but says that they're so far removed from true socialism, they're not really socialism anymore. But to adhere to true socialism, one cannot be a good Catholic.
Another, do you know where I found that quote?
Where did you find that
where
quote?
Where do you think I found that quote,
in,
Trent?
Oh, in Counterfeit Christ, because I have a chapter in there, was Jesus a socialist?
Trent Horn's brand new book, Counterfeit Christ, Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters, available now.
I've got a trivia question for you, Cy.
Yeah.
Which of these individuals has a real name and not an alias? Fidel Castro or Vladimir Lenin?
Fidel.
Yes, Fidel Castro is his real name. Vladimir Lenin is actually Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov. Lenin was a nom de plume, as well as Trotsky and Stalin took on aliases as well.
And I don't like any of them.
With good cause.
At least not their politics. They were mean. We are in the midst of the Catholic Answers quiz show. Trent Horn is our guest for the hour. Our contestants are Jason and Sam, and we'll be right back to finish it up right after this.
This is Dr. Scott Hahn, and stay tuned for more Catholic Answers Live.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to the Catholic Answers Game Show. Catholic Answers Quiz Show. Got the quiz right here in my hands. Got two contestants, Jason and Sam. And I got a magnificent special guest, Trent Horn, the author, if you didn't hear the first half of the show, the author of Counterfeit Christ, Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters. Hello again, Trent.
Hello, Cy.
Also, the podcaster behind the Council of Trent, but we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. I got another question for, what are we up to? Jason, question number two, round two. Am I correct? Jason, question number two, round two, a virtue. I don't know why I made the question so hard. I'm just realizing reading this. This is a really hard question. A virtue is best described as A, an essentially good faculty of the soul. B, an essentially good habit. Or C, an essentially good act. I am getting a dirty look from assistant producer Marie as I read that. She's like, what are you even talking about? Which phrase best describes the word virtue? Is a virtue an essentially good faculty of the soul? That's A. B, an essentially good habit. Or C, an essentially good act.
I'm out of lifeline, so I'm going to say A.
No sound.
According to St. Thomas Aquinas, the rational powers which are proper to man are not determinate to one particular action, but are inclined indifferently to many. So the mere faculties of our souls and those particular powers aren't necessarily inclined to the good. They're determinate.
You mean
to
I can do? I have faculties of soul where I can do good stuff with them or bad stuff with them.
That's right.
So they're not virtues.
So with man, they're inclined indifferently many. They are determinate to acts by means of habits.
Habits.
As is clear from what we said above. Therefore, human virtues are habits. Another way to put it is a virtue is a habitual disposition to choose the good.
Jason, okay. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
So that means, Trent, then, if I want to have virtues, I have to do stuff over and over again until it becomes a habit.
Virtue is essentially building up moral muscles. One can say, oh, well, I'm gonna be strong and lift this, or I'm gonna will to run, a marathon in 3 hours. You could say you want to do that, but if you don't build up your physical muscle memory, you won't accomplish that. Choosing to live a virtuous life means choosing the good over and over and over again until it becomes a habit or disposition, so that we have essentially developed moral muscle memory.
Then it would be easier to choose the good if I do that.
It is.
Because if it's a habit, I'll be just like, I do this all the time.
That's right.
I resist donuts all the time.
Well, that's similar to people who do engage in particular kinds of diets, that if someone doesn't eat sugar for an entire year, eventually, after a while, sugar is just no longer appetizing them. They cease to want it. The same way someone who lives a virtuous life, vice simply ceases to be attractive to them.
Nice. I like it. All right. Question number two of round two for you, Sam. Catholics do not describe God as... You're going to find the one where we don't use this word to describe God. We do not describe God as A, omniscient, B, absolutely good, C, pluripotent. A, omniscient, B, absolutely good, or C, pluripotent. Which one does not describe God?
C.
Boom! Nailed it!
That's correct. God is not a stem cell. Pluripotent describes the ability of stem cells and cells in human development to become many different types of cells, so that a stem cell can later develop into bone or nerve or muscle cells. We say that its potential to take these different forms makes it pluripotent. Another kind of cell, if it's totipotent, it can become one of the body cells or the placenta of a developing embryo.
But what is God?
God is simple.
No, but what kind of potent is he?
He is, as you would incorrectly pronounce it for many, he is omnipotent. God is all powerful. He can do anything that can be done.
Usually pronounced omnipotent.
Yes.
But it's the same root word.
Omnipotent.
He can do anything.
That can be done.
That can be done.
Question number three, round two. Oh, this is an important one. This is an important one. Question number three, round two. Contestant number one, Jason. In his second letter, Peter says we will one day, A, see the divine nature, B, touch the divine nature, C, share in the divine nature. Which thing did Peter say in his second letter? That one day we will see the divine nature, A, touch the divine nature, B, share in the divine nature, C.
C, share in the divine nature.
What? Nailed it.
That's correct. 2 Peter 1:4, Peter says we will share in, or we will become partakers in the divine nature.
So if we're going to share in the divine nature, and I'm using the U.S. Catholic Bishop's translation for that, you're using something fancier because you use the word partakers. But I'm going to have to become like God then.
Yes, we will become like God, which in the Western Church, we don't become God, but we become conformed to be more and more like him. In the West, we call that divinization.
Yes.
That was a skipped record there. Maybe, although here in Catholic Answers, even in the West, we tend to use another word. We say theosis, I guess, because, well, we have a podcast, Clumsy Theosis, and maybe it's just easier to say than divinization.
Clumsy Theosis, a wonderful podcast to help you struggle your way to becoming more like God, of course, by availing yourself of the graces that God made available. You can get that wherever you get a podcast. Clumsy Theosis, Rochelle Lucero makes that podcast here. Final question of round two. Now, do you like how I made some of these questions into ads or not? Or you don't like it? You like it when it's your book, huh?
Oh, I do like that. I want seeing some of them. I guess it's good you're not like selling tires or disposable razors or something.
If I could get someone to sponsor a question, I could do that. If we could get somebody to, like, this question's sponsored by Pirelli Tires. Well, okay, no.
But then if tire is the answer, the sponsorship will give away, they'll give it away every time.
But you can't have an answer like flat. Or something like that, because then Pirelli would be like, oh, we're not sponsoring that.
Right.
Okay, so we got to give Sam his final question of round two. Sam, before we can share in the divine nature, Peter says we must, okay, so we're going to be sharers in the divine nature, but before we can get there, Peter says we must, A, escape the corruption that is in the world, B, give all we have to the poor, or C, run the race until the end. So before we can share in the divine nature, Peter says we must escape the corruption that is in the world. That's A. B, give all we have to the poor. Or C, run the race until the end. Is it A, escape the corruption that is in the world? B, give all we have to the poor. Or C, run the race until the end?
I'm going to ask my last lifeline for... Trent in Piglet.
In Piglet, Adelaide, Trent. Try to say this in Piglet. I'm so happy that I put a long answer here at the end.
All right, let's give this a try. Oh. Apisque to the Dukurgara Chapinsene, that a K is a no world a K.
It's not. Okay, that is horrible. That is horrible.
I told you I can't do pig. I don't know.
So before we can share in the divine nature, do we have to escape the corruption that is in this world, give all we have to the poor, or run the race until the end?
I'm going to guess he said escape the corruption of the world.
That is correct.
He has granted to us his precious and very great promises that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion, and become partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4.
Okay, time to tally up the score. Marie will use a supercomputer, the Catholic Answers supercomputer, to tally up the score. I believe the score, is this correct here? We have Sam with 3 correct answers, Jason with 4. That makes Jason the winner. Am I correct about that? Jason, congratulations.
Thanks, sir. Thank you.
All right,
congratulations, Sam. Good job.
Sam,
thank you.
I feel terrible because I made the questions kind of goofy and hard this time, but we're not sending you away empty-handed. We are going to send you a copy of Trent Horn's book, Counterfeit Christs, Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters.
Thank you.
All right, Sam, did you give assistant producer Marie your address? Or do you?
You know, I don't think I have yet.
All right, hang on and do that. Sam, you did a great job. I'm sorry that
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep. Thank you very, very much. You made it fun, too.
I was going to answer a question of yours about pasta fagioli.
Oh!
From a month or two ago.
You heard that episode.
You remember that?
How do you say it?
So it's pasta fagioli. It's beans. It's pasta and beans. Dean Martin came up with pasta fagioli because it rhymed.
I feel like we need to send him another book. Let's send him also Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, Carlo Broussard's brand new book. So I should say it, when I go to order it in an Italian restaurant, should I say it the Dean Martin way, pasta fagioli, or that other way?
I would say it pasta fagioli.
Pasta fagioli, okay.
So that's bean pasta?
It's pasta. It's so good. Just order it. You will not be sorry. What? It is so good.
So I'll get some of that pasta frijoles.
Not pasta frijoles.
So I get it. So that's why they're similar. Okay.
Pasta fagioli. Okay. We got to take a break. Sam, thanks very much. Now you're getting two books because now I know how to pronounce my favorite Italian dish. Right now, that store-wide summer sale, spring sale continues, but only through the weekend. Enter promo code SPRING19 when you check out at shop.catholic.com for 15% off everything.
Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Divine Intimacy Radio.
When you engage with the wisdom of saints this way, it stokes the fires of God in our hearts, encourages us, strengthens us, and gives us wisdom to deal with the difficulties of life. It also gives us wisdom that allows us to rise above all of the junk, to live with joy and peace in the midst of even the most difficult circumstances.
Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday, 6:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
It's Friday. We're having fun. Catholic Answers Quiz Show. Trent Horn here. Gather around the whole family around the radio. You're going to want the kids, grandparents, aunts, and uncles because now it's time to play Final Judgment. And so I'm going to give seven true or false questions. We'll see who in the family knows their stuff. Play along at home. Final Judgment. Jason, you have made it through rounds one and two. Are you ready to face your final judgment?
I am.
You sound very confident.
I am.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
I hope you don't have to face the real final judgment too soon, but all right, here's the way it works. Final judgment, seven questions, true or false. I'll ask the question and you'll say either true or false. If you get that question correct, you win the prize that goes with that question. And I'll tell you the prize before I ask you the question. If by some miracle you get all seven of these questions correct, you get all seven of the prizes, but you also get $50 in a credit at shop.catholic.com to buy anything you want over there.
I would love that.
All right, calm down, Jason. Calm down.
I have a question for you, Si.
Yes.
True or false? Judgment has two E's in it.
How did I spell it?
Don't look at your paper.
Judgment. Oh, wait. All right, I spelled final right. Okay, are you ready for the question?
We need to get true or false. Does it have two E's?
We just need to get it's false.
That's right. It has one E. Yes. Despite what you sent me in the email.
Not when I spell it because I do fancy spelling. I do old English.
True or false? Theater has two E's.
Theater has two E's.
True in England. But not here.
I don't even know what Trent Horn is doing now. This is just detracting from the program to humiliate
me. We're getting us warmed up for our final judgment.
Yes,
true, false
I feel
time.
So bad about myself now. Jason, I don't know if I can go on. All right, let's
do
it.
I need you to.
All right, here we go. True or false? This is your first question. And on the you're playing for Trent's book, Made This Way, that he wrote with Layla Miller. Made This Way, here you go. True or false? The book of Proverbs is traditionally included among the works of the prophets. True or false, Jason, the book of Proverbs is traditionally included among the works of the prophets.
False.
correct. It's among the wisdom literature along with the Psalms.
All right. I hope you were playing on at home, along at home, and you got that one. The book of Proverbs is part of the wisdom literature, not usually included among the works of the prophets. You have one made this way from Trent Horn and Layla Miller. Congratulations, Jason. Now question number two in your final judgment. True or false, Jason, Jesus recognized the Pharisees as legitimate religious authorities. True or false, for those of you playing at home as well, Jesus recognized the Pharisees as legitimate religious authorities.
True.
That's correct. In Matthew 23:2, Jesus says, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach, but do not practice."
Man, you're tearing it up right now. You're 2 for 2, and I didn't even tell you what book you were playing for, but it was a DVD, actually. The Case Against Contraception, a DVD. I remember it as a fine. I don't remember who the host of that was, but I just remember thinking, this guy is good. The Case Against Contraception. Have you ever seen it?
Not surprising. I've come across it once or twice.
Really? Yeah? Who's the host of that thing?
That would be me.
Oh, that's Trent Horn made that one. All right, so you've got two things. You're playing now for Persuasive Pro-Life. That is also a book from Trent Horn. Persuasive Pro-Life is yours if you can answer the following question. If you're playing along at home, it's the same question for you. When Moses lived in Egypt, the pyramids of Giza, including the Great Pyramid, by the way, were already many centuries old. True or false, when Moses lived in Egypt, the pyramids of Giza were already many centuries old.
That's correct. The pyramids of Giza were completed at the latest, probably around the 18th century BC. And the Exodus probably took place sometime between the 13th to 15th centuries BC.
Man, you are tearing it up. You are tearing it up. So, like, if I see in the movies and the Egyptian slaves around Moses' time are building the Great Pyramid of Giza, that would be an anachronism.
Yes, it would. In fact, I believe there was, I think it was an Israeli politician who went to Egypt who said, we Jews built the pyramids, and the Egyptians didn't quite take kindly to that because they would say that the Egyptians built them.
Clearly, right. All right.
Though the book of Exodus does describe forced building projects, in the Goshen and the Delta region. And there is good evidence that Semitic peoples and Hebrew peoples were there. And that confirms the historicity of the Israelites being enslaved there, but not necessarily building pyramids, maybe building things like grain silos for Ramses the Pharaoh.
Ramses. I'm so tired of Ramses. All right, you got 3 out of 3 so far.
Who's one of the possible pharaohs? Thutmoses is another possible contender.
Thutmoses?
Mm-hmm.
He has Moses right in his name.
Well, Moses is a very Egyptian name, which is also another reason to believe the Exodus account is historical.
Learning so much from you, Trent. All right, here, you're playing now for Why We're Catholic. That is a book that Trent Horn claims to have written. Why We're Catholic will be your prize if you get this one correct. The Council of Trent affirmed that each of the second sacraments was instituted by Christ. True or false? The Council of Trent affirmed that each of the seven sacraments was instituted by Christ.
True.
That's correct. Now here's an extra bonus question. Which session of the Council of Trent did it declare this for the seven sacraments?
Well, you got to give him a prize if you're gonna give a bonus. You got to give a bonus prize.
I'd give accolades.
How about we give him Jimmy's book, The Fathers Know Best?
I'm going to guess seven.
Yeah, it was in the seventh session.
Ah, he got another book. Will you write that down? We got to send him Jimmy's book too. Don't tell Jimmy. Don't tell Jimmy what just happened. You are killing it, man. Did somebody send you the answers before the show? Because you're just killing it.
Sir. I listen to you guys a lot.
All right. Here's another bonus question for you, and I'm not going to give you a prize if you know this one. Is there anything else that's called the Council of Trent that we should maybe talk about?
It's a podcast by Trent Horn.
That is a podcast by Trent Horn.
It's spelled C-O-U-N-S-E-L.
Man, this guy's going to get them all seven. I don't know. He knows everything. He knows everything. Okay. All right. Question number 5. This is the right question. Where is the Ark of the Covenant now? Just kidding. That's not really your question. True or false? The Second Vatican Council taught that religion is a personal matter, but that Catholic faith is the best way to God. True or false, Jason? The Second Vatican Council taught that religion is a personal matter, but that Catholic faith is the best way to God.
That would be false.
correct. The Second Vatican Council did not espouse, and in fact, it rejected religious indifferentism. It upholds religious liberty and the ability to freely choose one's faith, but it does teach the objective truth of the Catholic faith in comparison to other religions.
Man. All right. Did I say which book you got that? Well, that was What the Saints Never Said.
Also, nope. I know the answer to the question where the Ark of the Covenant is now. I don't know if you know the answer to this question.
Is it Ethiopia?
It's with top men studying it.
Ah.
Top men.
Top men. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm glad to hear that. It sounds very Spielbergian. All right. Question number six. This one you're playing for Trent's book, Hard Sayings. True or false? True or false, all Christians, except for Protestants, have the same number of books in their scripture. True or false, Jason, all Christians, except for Protestants, have the same number of books in their scripture.
Would more, well, no, Christians, the only...
Think it through.
You'd have the Eastern Orthodox. I believe they have more, so I'm going to say false.
This guy's a magic man. It's crazy.
That's correct. The Eastern Orthodox actually have a wider canon than even Catholics and Protestants.
I think Ethiopian Orthodox have the biggest canon, or it might be the Copts.
Ethiopian Orthodox have the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jubilees, and the Eastern Orthodox have other things like the Prayer of Manasseh and 3rd and 4th Maccabees.
I hope we're not getting played by this guy. I hope he didn't somehow get the answers sent to him, because if he gets the next question correct, he not only gets the 7 prizes plus the bonus prize of the Fathers Know Best that we're going to send him, but he also gets $50 to spend any way he wants at shop.catholic.com.
It would really be a rags to riches story if he gets all of these questions, which I would assume...
He's a mechanic. He's an aircraft mechanic.
Well,
he's not in rags.
It's possible that from his previous hard scrabble upbringing, every one of these questions
hard scrabble upbringing.
Well, the only I'm assuming that this is the Catholic version of Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay,
why he can get all the questions right.
Jason, by any chance, did you have a hard scrabble upbringing?
Not really.
All right, you're kind of ruining the Cinderella story here. All right,
typical American upbringing, I guess.
All right. Did you watch television as a child?
Yes.
All right. Well, here we go. It's not a Cinderella story. It's not up from hard scrabble beginnings. It's just a guy who's going to win a whole lot of stuff if he gets this question correct. Jason, true or false? True or false? The 5 solas are listed in the letter to the Hebrews. True or false? The 5 solas are listed in the letter to the Hebrews. True or false? The 5 solas are listed.
I'm gonna say that's false.
Dang it! We have to give him all that money.
One would imagine the bedrock of the Protestant Reformation is not, especially described in Latin. Is not found in the letter to the Hebrews. So,
really?
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this, Jason. Can you name the 5 solas?
I know there's sola fide, scriptura.
Yeah. All right.
Nope, that's about it.
All right. Where do you find sola scriptura in the Bible? Because sola scriptura means that the Bible is the sole rule of faith. So where do you find that rule, sola scriptura, in the Bible?
I don't find it there.
Man, Jason. Do you want to work here, Jason? Do you want to just work here at Catholic Answers?
I do. I really do.
Do you really?
Yeah,
you should. You should call Trent. Trent, you're going to say something about sola scriptura.
No, I was going to agree with you that it's not present.
All right. So you won the following books, Jason, because you know everything, apparently. You won Made This Way. You won the DVD, Case Against Contraception. You won Persuasive Pro-Life. You won Why We're Catholic. What the Saints Never Said, Hard Sayings. That you just won Answering Atheism. You also got the bonus book, The Fathers Know Best. And you have $50 to spend as you please at shop.catholic.com. Congratulations, Jason.
Thank you, and thank you for letting me be a part of it, and talking to you guys is a bigger prize than all of that.
Wow, man. I don't know. Where's the tissues? Thank you, Jason. You made it a really good show, too. I really appreciate it. We should have him on when we do the champions against champions one. We're going to do, yeah, we're going to do some kind of a champions show sometime. Trent, you were, I would say you were, that was, you were definitely on the show today.
I was here.
I feel like you were here.
I was here. Yeah. Indeed.
Congratulations to you.
Provided some commentary, hopefully a few chuckles here and there. But it was enjoyable. And thank you, Cy, for your wonderful moderating, scorekeeping, and dramatic uttering of the questions.
My scorekeeping was terrible. It looked like they were pulling their hair out.
Thank you for giving everyone in the booth something to do. You know, we don't want them falling asleep.
Nick, thank you for your fine job on the sound effects for the show. You did a great job. Thank you very much. Oh, I don't know who that is. Take the glasses off. Who is that? Oh, that's Brandon. Thank you for your fine video work, Brandon. Intern Thomas, thanks for being here. Assistant producer Marie, you did a really fine job. How was it working with me this time? Nick won't put her microphone up. And of course, the biggest thank you, Darren, our producer, father of three, very old man. We really appreciate all that you've done. We got a round of applause for Darren. Nice. I think Nick wants a raise. Jason, thanks again. You've been listening to Catholic Answers Live. Our guest has been Trent Horn. Trent Horn's brand new book, as we mentioned like 400 times already, is The Counterfeit Christs, Finding the Real Jesus Among the Imposters. That, along with everything else, is 15% off right now at shop.catholic.com. Trent, enjoy Mass this weekend that we're going to be celebrating Ascension Sunday in America.
Oh, always glad that that was moved in our diocese to Sunday, but good thing to celebrate.
All right. Take it easy, Trent Horn.
Will do. You too, sir.
Thank you. You really did do a good job.
You too, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Jesus Christ is, in fact,
risen.
Risen.
And ascended.
And ascended. And is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.
This is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.